Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. It's Friday. Woo! NFL divisional round. Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and join us on the adventure of a very busy sports Friday. Give us a call. Let's talk. Let's hear your picks and what you're thinking. 718-664-9098. Like always, email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Some picks are coming in for what people are picking for their final eight to make it to the AFC and NFC championships. Ray, looks interesting. And then rayandtaytoday.com. Check out our website. Very cool, very interactive. We got a lot of great things up on there. And we got some cool new, new things you guys should check out. Ray and Tay Today at YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook. We are officially everywhere. Interactive. Check out Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know how this quick-paced, hard-hitting show is coming at them.
We got a lot to talk about. So we haven't talked since Monday, so we'll get into this BCS championship really quickly. We'll take you around the world of sports. We'll talk about some head coaches that are changing, NFL hirings, NCAA potential hiring. We've got a quick look at college basketball. We got some good games this weekend, a first in the ACC. We've got the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. Three players made the Hall of Fame. We have some things to talk about over there. And then we change gears and go to the Pro Pigskin. We'll be talking about Actually, before then, we'll do a quick run.
Yeah, don't
the
forget
NBA.
About the Knicks, baby. Got to big up the
Knicks.
Yeah,
the Knicks won three in a row, so we got to give the Knicks some credit. 13-22, but hopefully the three in a row means something. They beat San Antonio and Miami in the last 10 days or so, 2 weeks. So we'll talk quickly about the NBA, and then we'll talk about the NFL divisional week. So we got games on Saturday, we got games on Sunday, and when we come back to you on Monday, we're going to have a Final Four. We're going to have the NFC and the AFC Divisional Championships. So we'll talk about the NFL, and we'll end the show with our segment, Hall of Fame Friday. And on this
show, the
theme is football. We'll be talking about players that are borderline Hall of Famers playing today. Ray and Tay will give you some opinions on whether they'll be football.
We're projecting out. We got to project out. You know, who could make? Yeah. So
let's start off with the BCS. Let's talk about it. It was latest, it was on Monday night or what, Tuesday night. Florida State, famous Jameis. What'd you think of the game?
Fascinating. Picked up towards the end of the third. Fourth quarter was great. Wasn't a great championship until the end. But that fourth quarter and those drives, Mason's touchdown, and then Winston comes back and wins it. I think it was amazing. I mean, Mason gets 195, and he's off to the NFL. And then Benjamin, clutch touchdown and played great. He's off to the NFL. Winston can't leave. Hey, Tay called it 34-30. And it was 34-31. So not bad, not bad. And we both picked Florida State. And you know what? It wasn't a coronation, and Auburn's got to hold their head up high. SEC still can, walk around strong, but the streak was broken, at seven in a row. And I think for the last BCS game, Florida State and Jimbo Fisher, it's great, right? ESPN had Saban there broadcasting it there, and Jimbo Fisher, who used to be under Saban, he gets to show the all-ball coach. He's like, hey, man, I did it, And I was impressed. I think, there was some definite Ford on Auburn, NFL talent, Jerrigan. There's some guys on both these teams that will be playing on Sundays. And I think Mason showed himself to possibly be a second-round pick, not a third or fourth. I think he's a legitimate NFL running back. So What was your take on Green and some of the other guys that stepped up in the game?
So it was interesting because, like you said, it wasn't a great game for three quarters. Auburn really played out of their mind defensively, and they played better than they had played all season. So you thought that they have the ability potentially to run the ball in the fourth quarter and win this game. But ultimately a missed tackle leading to a 49-yard catch, and then just Benjamin just being too big, took advantage a little bit of the 5'10", 5'11", Davis in the end zone for that touchdown. And you got an exciting – yeah, Benjamin just declared for the NFL. So you've got an exciting end to a, you know, otherwise uninspiring game. What I thought was interesting, though, if you think about it, the BCS run has been something like, what, 14 years? 16 years?
Yeah.
So FSU now puts themselves in big boy territory, right? Because they, with this win, they have two. So FSU has two, and I'm trying to think.
And they got some great
head.
Recruits off of this too, Ray.
They're going to be good.
They got the running back that was going to go to Florida, the number four running back in the country. He left Florida and went to FSU. So
they're back.
That's great.
So they're back. So Jimbo Fisher winning this game is a big deal, and FSU gets to put themselves in a category with Alabama and LSU as teams that won the BCS twice, or twice in the BCS era. So,
right.
Good for them.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, like we said, going around just real quick with some of these coaches, you know, the NFL, we already told you what had happened in Texas and, you know, those jobs, the Texans. But the Redskins, you know, Jay Gruden. And it's so funny because we, you know, talked about it. You check out on our RayandTate.com or our YouTube, and you'll hear in our best of, our sort of little demo reel of Ray and Tate talking when we go back and forth talking about the Bengals. I said Jay Gruden will get a job, and he got a job. And I think the Washington Redskins, you know, it's hard to say, right? Daniel Snyder has got it supposedly right a bunch of times. He didn't hire a bunch of clowns. He's hired some Hall of Fame coaches, Schottenheimer, you know, Gibbs, Return, whatever, but it hasn't worked out. I actually think, and even Shanahan, I think he got it right with Jay Gruden, because I think Jay Gruden, like his brother, is an offensive genius and a grinder. And I like to see who his coordinators are going to be. He's working on that, but I think him and RG3, and they just have to get some more talent. And they're not hit on the salary cap anymore. They don't have the draft picks necessarily that they need. But the Redskins can look bright to a good future, good hire. And
let
we'll
me
see
ask you
what...
something, though. You said he's an offensive genius. What leads you to believe he's an offensive genius?
Well,
I mean,
OC for 3 years, right? OC for 3 years. Each of those 3 years he went to the playoffs. And I think this is the first year that the Bengals offense has had very good to exceptional talent. I think the first 2 years it was just Dalton and A.J. Green, right? So I think that
last couple years. They didn't
But they didn't have Giovanni Bernard. They didn't have, you know, they just had
Gresham, who didn't
play so great and had been banged up. And I think they finally got some more help. I think he's going to do well. I think he'll do well with the offense, and I think he's prepared in terms of, you know, being at Tampa and being with his brother to be a leader of men and sort of, you know, be the CEO. So I think that's going to be interesting. It looks like, you know, Wisenhunt might get one of these, you know, Browns, Lions jobs. He's got all these interviews this week and Saturday with the Browns. The Vikings are, you know, looking at Greg Roman from the Niners, and so you would think maybe one of these Niners guys, you know, get a job. The Seattle guys have had interviews. So it's going to be fascinating to sort of see the jobs remaining, who goes where. You know, obviously Tampa's gone, Washington's gone, and the Texans are gone. So you got Lovey, Bill O'Brien, and Jay Gruden. So we go from there, and then in football, college football, I don't know what you thought, but, you know, tell the audience what you're talking about, Petrino and possibly Franklin from Vanderbilt going to Penn State.
I'm coming home. So Bobby Petrino, who basically
got to be a good boy this time.
Louisville back. I didn't even want to go there.
Yeah.
Put Louisville back on the map, left to go to the Falcons, and then left the Falcons in week 13 to go to Arkansas. And then ran into trouble in Arkansas. Wasn't, you know, had some issues when he was at Louisville too. But I thought the AD had an interesting comment. He said, "We're not getting the Bobby Petrino of 8 years ago. We don't want the Bobby Petrino of 8 years ago." And he said he looked his wife in the face and said, essentially, you're getting a changed man. Or she said to him, you're getting a changed man. So let's see if that's in fact the case. Let's see if in fact Bobby Petrino does stay. He's got a $10 million buyout clause, which, quote-unquote, he won't need. But if somebody comes to get Bobby Petrino, they have to pay the University of Louisville $10 million. That's going to dissuade somebody from trying to get him. So let's hope he does his thing. And then there's the issue of Franklin, the
$4.5 million at Penn State, right?
Well, is that on hold or is that a done deal?
It's
now?
Not official yet, but I'm saying they're working on the contract and stuff. But that's what he might get. It's kind of nice.
It's amazing, right? He'll be the highest.
He turned around a program that's hard to win at, so I got to give this guy some credit. I like
him. Yeah, he has this player scandal there. Four or five players were alleged to have raped a young lady, a 21-year-old, probably attended the university or something. But, yeah, hopefully that gets resolved and justice prevails there. And the question is, you know, how much was he involved? They said he told the players to – he immediately suspended the players, so that's a good thing. And then he told somebody to delete evidence from the phone or something. So I don't know. It's a little bit interesting that a program like Penn State – didn't do their due diligence or thought that this was not a big enough issue and they still wanted to hire the guy. So we'll see. But either way, it looks like it'll probably end up going to Penn State. And so Penn State replaces a young, you know, vibrant coach with another young, vibrant coach. So hopefully he'll stay at Penn State and do a good job there and bring that team back to, you know, Big Ten prominence.
Definitely.
He's got himself a heck of a quarterback to work with. So at least he's starting with, you know, some solid material.
Let's talk about some of this Hall of Fame. I mean, the NFL, you know, whatever, the 15 finalists, and, you know, it's always the Saturday night before the Super Bowl that they announce who gets into the Hall of Fame. Earlier that day, they knock it down a little bit more from 15 and then, you know, eliminate five, and then they get to the guys. But what I do like for the veterans, Ray Guy's got a shot, ladies and gentlemen, and I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe it's the year, I don't know what you think, maybe it's finally the year for Andre Reed and Tim Brown, you know, and Bettis is still alive. You know, the new guys, Aeneas Williams and the big lineman, I'm drawing a blank on him, but Derek Brooks, Strahan, and Dungy. Dungy is still alive, so it's going to be great, and we'll talk more about it. But when you talk about NFL, and we'll talk about who we think will get in the Hall of Fame in the future for the NFL, but we got to talk about who did get in, and we got to talk about MLB. Tell me your thoughts, three guys, Maddox, Glavin, and Frank Thomas. 290% guys, right, and 83 for Thomas, or over 90 for the other guys, and two Atlanta Braves and Bobby Cox, we already mentioned the managers. What did you think? Were you shocked, surprised? BGO, second year, got a little bit closer, but two votes short. That's got to hurt. Tell me your baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, I'll start with BGO. Anytime you get 74.8%, you're going to make it. You know, 75% is the magic number, and he'll make it. So no problem for Craig Biggio fans out there. He'll be a Hall of Famer. But the three that made it, so you think about Frank Thomas, and you think one of the best first basemen of all time, even though he's quiet, so he doesn't make as much noise, the guy won back-to-back MVPs in 94 and 95. And if you guys are too young to remember Frank Thomas, go look him up. I mean, there'll be some
amazing
YouTube videos of him. Frank Thomas can play. Now,
legit.
It's funny because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? And, you know, there's this notion of, oh, first ballot Hall of Famer. To me, I don't put as much credence in there. I just say, look, you're in or you're not, right? So Frank Thomas deserves to be a Hall of Famer. He dominated his position for many years. Anytime you win two MVPs and back-to-back MVPs, that means you're the best player
really
in your league.
And really, had to be
a
DH because of the injuries, the back injury and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think you know, people try to say, oh, a DH in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, the next huge guy like that that might come up could be Big Papi Ortiz. But
the big question
remember,
I was about
he,
to say, Edgar Martinez probably
I don't think he'll
won't
get
make
in.
The Hall of Fame. But Big
the
Papi
New York Times article,
the...
yeah, he's never really, he never sued for the New York Times article. So basically he's like, you know, he kind of like said something about it then, oh, it's not true, whatever. But then there's never been anything about it, you know, since that article and what was that, 03 or 06. So I think, you know, he has a smudge on his record. So I don't think Big Papi will get in, no matter how much he's been clean ever since then and yada, yada, yada. I think Maddux and Glavine, you know, were just, you know, two of the greatest ever. Obviously, next year it's going to be Smoltz. Maybe they'll get four, right? Smoltz, BGO, the big unit, and Pedro Martinez. So that's going to be – you talk about a class. That's
yeah,
and that
Pedro
would be the
and,
first
so,
time.
Yeah, Pedro and Randy are going to be for sure in. But, yeah, Glavine and Maddux played for 11 years together. And these two were – Glavine was one of the best left-handers of all time. And people are saying that statistically Greg Maddux is one of the five best pitchers of all time. So
yeah.
The great thing about these two is that they were true pitchers, which is not to take anybody away who's God-given you know, a 99-mile-an-hour
yeah,
fastball.
We all know, but we know Sutton shouldn't be in there. Not Blylevin, these stat compilers. And I do think Messina will get in. It just won't be next season because of who else is up. But the year after, I think Messina gets in. I think Messina's
got
great stats.
No, I don't think Messina makes the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Really?
What I do
okay.
think, though, about these two is that they are pitchers. They are real pitchers, artists,
oh, yeah.
scientists. You know, they figured out a way how to pitch
especially
and get
Maddux.
People out. Yeah, and it's
Maddux
interesting because apparently Maddux had some good stuff coming up through the system and then got injured and so forth. But we remember
right.
Maddux as a guy who had a ball on a string. His only downfall was that he was great in the regular season, and he was just good
okay.
in the playoffs.
Yeah.
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 So the guy was absolutely unhittable in the regular season. And by the way, he won 18 Gold Gloves. I mean,
oh yeah, no, he was
this
he's
guy
the best
is,
fielding
is not
pitcher,
only did he
yeah.
do it, not only did he do it by keeping base runners off the bases by toying with you as a hitter, but he fielded his position as great as Jim Cott, you know, as any
yeah.
any other pitcher who's ever pitched. So
yeah.
So this guy's
and
a
we
real
know
Glavine
in the postseason was great, and he was even a bulldog for the Mets when he got there at the end of his career. You know, some people said he was just trying to hang on to get, you know, the 300 victories, but Glavine was a horse, you know. And I think Smoltz might not make it next year, but I think Smoltz should because even think about the season where he had, like, what, 55 saves?
50 saves,
he went
yeah.
to the bullpen
well,
and
Smoltz
was
is
dominant.
A Hall of Famer. Smoltz is a
yeah.
Hall of Famer before Mussina, before anybody like that. Smoltz did it like Dennis Eckersley did. He was
yeah,
a dominant starter, and then he became a dominant reliever.
Dominant, yeah.
So to me, this guy, you know, my criteria is more about dominance than
dominate?
It is about longevity.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have, and I'm gonna reveal my bias here. But I'd rather have a guy like Don Mattingly. Who
dominated
during his era and
nine
and
gold gloves
short because of his back. He had six great years. He won the batting title. He almost won it twice. He, you know, RBI title had that year where he had eight grand slams. So the guy was dominant, but just his body gave out on him. I'd rather have a guy like that in the Hall of Fame than a guy that was very good for many, many years. So because to
I
me
totally
it's about
agree.
Dominating your sport.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, hey, kudos to those guys. Cooperstown, which I've never been, still got to go there. It's done itself proud, and, you know, we salute those guys. Obviously, Clemens and Bonds, they, you know, their votes were still in the 30s, 34 and 35 apiece, still low. Your boy, whatchamacallit, is off the ballot. He had less than 5%.
Rafael Palmeiro is off
the
ballot.
Yeah, Palmeiro. And, you know, I don't know. We talked about it on our show with Bob Brenly and with Al Troutwig, and, you know, there's going to have to be a decision that baseball is going to have to come to, where they either have to just make a haul, an asterisk, and put some of these guys in, or if you don't put them in, it's going to be kind of weird. Especially, you know, I don't want to talk about Sosa, McGuire, but Bonds and Clemens. Because anybody that saw them play, and I would say, and I hate to say it, I'd even say Manny Ramirez. I'll just say that. Because anybody that saw these guys play, you watched Hall of Fame baseball. And so whenever they decided to cheat, it's on them. They're totally wrong for doing it. Same with A-Rod. But, you know, and now with A-Rod, you don't know if it was from the beginning, but you don't think it was, right? But, you know, you maybe it started at Texas. Who knows? But at the end of the day, there still has to come to some resolution, Ray, that satisfies everybody. It just can't be the baseball writers are like da-da-da-da, because in some ways you could say they were complicit because some of them didn't blow the whistle or make enough noise back then with the Sosa-McGuire home run boom. You know? So it's, I don't know. And you know who comes up next year? You know I got feelings for my man, Gary Sheffield. Gary Sheffield, Dwight Gooden's cousin. Yo, Gary and Manny and Albert Bell, those were three of the best hitters I think we've seen in our lives. Just they can get you a double, a home run anytime they wanted. Clutch. I mean, Gary was was great for the Yankees, but he was just great all over. Got a ring with the
Milwaukee,
Marlins.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
The thing with those guys is they punished the baseball. There's guys that hit the ball nicely and they have sweet swings, especially those left-handed, you know, again, back to the lefties. The lefties have the beautiful swing, but those three just punished the baseball.
Yeah.
They just put a hurt on it, like, I'm going to hit you so hard that you're just going to find a way to get to the outfield and get to the gap or get over the fence. And even Gary Sheffield with the Yankees would hit it hard that the third base coaches were in jeopardy. They had to start wearing helmets, start to be off the, you know, out of the coach's box because
that's
the
a statement
so
in itself, right? That's a statement. So let's keep it moving. Before we get to the NBA and some of these injuries, you hate to hear about it. Let's talk a little bit of college hoops. Obviously, last night, great game. All the stars were out at UCLA to see, you know, Aaron Gordon and Arizona, 16-0, the first time in their team history. Sean Miller is one heck of a coach. I love Arizona's team. I like your boy in UCLA, Zach LaVine, and I like UCLA's team. You know, they're not going to be a great team this year, but, you know, Alford is building something, right? And
you know, he's got his son playing on the team.
Yes. And you know, it's so funny, and there were fans there. I thought of Seth Davis when Seth Davis was on our show last year, and he spoke about how, you know, the fans don't really come out and represent, you know. So they were there. But Arizona, Ray, they are, what, there's still four or five teams undefeated. Iowa State, Arizona, Syracuse, and I forgot who, and one other team. Wichita State, they were well, like 11-12-0. But so, is it Parker? Is it Gordon? You know, who's the best freshman? I mean, that's sort of the buzz of college hoops, and Gordon has come on as of late in the last four or five games, 2-3 weeks, that he's
and
like, Parker's, yo, I'm bigger, better.
Parker was benched by Krzyzewski. So
yeah.
I think that it's Parker right now. I like this kid, still like Andrew Wiggins for his athletic ability.
Yes.
My question to you is, now I've seen Aaron Gordon, what do they call him, A.A. Ron or double A Ron, A something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gordon a couple times now, and he's very athletic. And he kind of does everything.
But is he a tweener? Is that what you're going to hit me with?
Yeah. What is he in the pros? He's almost like Scottie Pippen meets Blake Griffin. You know, he's a really
athletic. Yeah, I think he's going to have to play the four. I don't think he's athletic enough for the three, but I think the NBA has become a little bit softer. And depending on the teams, I think he's an athletic four. He'll, with time and just, you know, get your grown man weight on and eat some food, he'll get some size. So, oh, and your boy, we forgot, Kiffin agrees to be the OC at Alabama. You got to like that, Lane Kiffin going with to be with Saban.
Right. So when he visited a month or two ago, I guess that was a job interview, essentially.
I like it. I definitely like it. So this weekend, we got to talk about this, man. ACC, and, you know, last night Louisville lost. That Memphis team is talented, Ray. But, you know.
That kid Josh
Pastner
is, he can recruit.
Yeah.
He's had trouble beating teams in the top 25, but good for him.
No, definitely. But you got to get hyped up and excited about the first ACC matchup of Syracuse and North Carolina.
I'm not excited about it. I'm disgusted. Syracuse is still a Big East team in my mind.
I know. But it's the wave of the future. Hey, my Maryland Terrapins, Joe Terps will be in the Big Ten with Rutgers next year. Louisville, and I'm not sure what Connecticut's doing. Is Connecticut coming to the ACC? And Notre Dame, they'll be playing football next year. They'll be in the, you know, in the ACC. Things are going to be – it is what it is, you know. It is what it is. So, look, that's going to be fun. Kansas State this weekend. There's some good games. Obviously, the Big Ten, that Ohio State-Michigan State game, we just got to mention. Appling and Kraft, they were balling out. That was amazing. But I got to tell you, I love Adrian Payne. We spoke about him a lot last season. But
bring
Appling
pain,
and Payne
Adrian.
And Harris, and you know how I feel about, you know, Bo Ryan of West Wisconsin and my man Izzo. You know, I'm not a Big Ten guy. I'm always, you know, Big East, ACC. You know, we grew up with the Big East in New York and loving the Big East and all that, and then you know, went to the ACC. But you know when you see great coaching, and that's Izzo. Izzo is – he's amazing. And I think Michigan State is one of those teams, you know, you had 3-5, and Michigan State won in a great game. They were up, and then Ohio State came back and went back and forth, and they pulled it out. But they're going to be in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Or the, you know, they'll be – you know, you just chalk them down, right? You check them off, Sweet 16 every year, Michigan State. So – that's amazing.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, and he's actually got some pro talent on this team. I think that Keith Appling might be a backup, but I think Gary Harris can start, and I think Adrian Payne can be an NBA player too, as a stretch 4, maybe 3. These guys can play. I mean, these are NBA talent, but even still, you know, Tom Izzo and that whole Big Ten this year. You know what we have to do with. 3-4-5.
3-4-5.
You know,
yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
They'll
beat
up on each other a little bit, but that's a fun league to watch this year.
So, going to the NBA. Finally, the NBA suspended this clown, J.R. Smith, or fined him $50,000. The Knicks sat him out. Great move by Woody. It had to be done. They're talking about, they're seeing if they could trade him. Right now, nobody wants to trade for J.R. Smith. But let's salute the Knicks, right? Four out of their last five, 3 in a row. They're waking up. The Brooklyn Nets play the Heat tonight on ESPN. They're waking up. I want to see these Miami Heat jerseys with the nicknames. But I got to ask you this. You know, without Chandler playing and without J.R., that was a pretty solid home win for the Knicks, and are they turning the corner? Could you see the so we know the Pacers and the Heat, right? You said wake you up in May or June or, you know, for the playoffs, right? So we know the Pacers and Heat. The Cavs get Deng. You know, maybe can you see Brooklyn and New York, you know, winning, starting to turn it around to get, like, the 4-5 seed in the East or 3-4 seed in the East?
Well, let me give you some quick perspective. The Knicks are 13-22, one game behind the 14-21 Brooklyn Nets for the eighth seed in the playoffs. They have Detroit in the middle, half a game in between them. And the Knicks
those
are
wizards,
only, quote-unquote, only 4.5 games behind the 17-17 Toronto Raptors. So anything is possible. This East is just so weak. That
wide open. Yeah.
The 1 and 2 are going to be Indiana and Miami. You can debate which order they finish in. But after that, it's wide open. I mean, the next teams 3 through 13, is a difference of 7 games, 6.5 games. So this East is so wide open. Hold on. It looks like we have a caller.
Yeah.
See, maybe the caller wants to talk basketball, football. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay today.
Hey, guys. Mike in Pittsburgh. How's it going?
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
How's it going, Mike?
Well, Not too much. I wanted to get into this NFL adding another playoff team, but I'm listening here, and you guys are talking about my favorite player J.R. Smith.
Boy, you called it. You called it. Yeah. You said it was a mistake for the Knicks to sign him.
Well, you're right, Mike, on that one.
I am so glad Woodson finally put his foot down and put him on the bench. This is kind of what the Knicks needed, some direction. But here's my problem, guys, and this is what I see happening. Like you said, the East is so bad right now. The Knicks, they could get into the conference semifinals, and they're going to think that's a successful year. But the East is so bad, guys, that's not a successful year. I don't care if the getting to the Eastern Conference Final, to me, doesn't mean anything. And if you look at it, it kind of shapes up like the Knicks or Brooklyn, could get there. So I just don't want Knicks fans to, get to the Eastern Conference Final and start saying it's a successful year. Take Miami or Indiana to, six or seven games, then we can talk.
Right. If they got to the final, that means they'd have to beat the Heat or the Pacers. You mean the semifinals of the Eastern Conference.
Semifinals, yeah.
No, yeah. You're totally right, and I got to say, it's what's going on with JR? The problem is this, right? Who really wants to trade for him? Everybody knows the money's too much, and he's sort of, looked like he was sort of, not being a knucklehead anymore. And then, like you said, that one night at Indiana goes out for the playoffs. So he's turned back into a knucklehead. And, the shoelace thing, totally unprofessional, just beyond ridiculous. And, the fans at the Garden, they booed him, and rightfully so. I don't know where his head is. I like how Shumpert's turning around. Ray was joking, well, now that Shumpert's turning around, let's trade him. But to me, I think the Knicks have got to keep their young talent. I don't touch Hardaway, and I don't touch, Shumpert. And I think with Melo, before the deadline comes up, man, you got to sit down and have a heart-to-heart. If you're leaving us, let us know, because we got to get something for you, man. You're going, he's not going to go to the Bulls now. I think the Cavaliers might be able to re-sign Deng. I think the Bulls, which he mentioned he would be interested in, it's a possibility, man. And this Knicks situation, as a fan, you want them to do well, but you want them not to, so they break it up, right?
Yeah, the Bulls might amnesty Boozer and then rebuild around, Carmelo and Rose. But, Mike, here's the thing. In the Eastern Conference, there's two elite teams, and the rest of the teams are really garbage. So if you're one of those teams, how do you define a successful season? So the Knicks won 54 games last season, and they're currently 13-22. I would argue that for momentum going into next year, if you go a little bit more than 500 from now, so they're almost at the halfway point. 13-22 is what, 35 games? 41 games is the halfway point in basketball. So if they were to go 23-18 and make the playoffs as the 4-5-6 seed or something like that, I think given the hole that they dug, I wouldn't call it a successful season, but I think it's something to build on, especially if you blow the team up and start to rebuild around somebody not named Carmelo Anthony. So you're right that it's not coming off a 54-win season. It's going to be disappointing because they won't win 50. I mean, they'll be happy to win, 40, but 40, 45. But, given where they started, I think it's okay. I think as long as the trend is good towards the middle and the second half of the season, then it's something to build on for next year.
Yeah, but here's the thing, guys, is it's going to give them a false sense of security thinking everything's okay, when really this team needs to be exploded. And here's the thing, record means nothing, because if you look at it now in the Eastern Conference, there's about six or seven teams that come, the last couple months of the season, they're going to be purposely tanking to get one of these top five draft picks. So, beating a Boston or Philly, whoever, even Chicago, Charlotte, Orlando, those are like completely meaningless wins, because you're playing against teams that don't want to win. They want to lose to get, better draft stock.
That's true, and the Knicks should be – look, but you play who's on your schedule, right? So if those guys want to give you the win, then you got to take it, especially because you don't own your own draft pick. So,
and I think, Mike, I think they know that this is – nobody over there is excited about this season. And no matter if they get to the semifinals and, you know, get one playoff win, maybe, you know, the 6-3 game, maybe they can, you know, if they are the sixth seed, maybe they beat Atlanta. You know, no one's going to get excited because the Pacers or the Heat in the second round will beat them in four, if not five. So I think reality is it's either keep Melo and trade for Rondo or figure out what you're going to do. Kevin Love wants to go to Lakers. Everybody knows that. So he's not coming here. They're going to have to figure something out. And if it's keeping Melo, then you got to get something around him or trading Melo and find, you know, somebody that can help you rebuild this thing. It's got to be through the draft. But you know what? The Knicks stuff can make you sick to your stomach. We need to hear from you. What are you thinking this weekend in the NFL with the final eight? Colts, Patriots, and just work your way from there. Give us some quick picks, Mike.
Okay. Well, Seattle, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's a complete joke. Seattle wins. Now, here the game I'm looking at, guys. If Peyton Manning loses this game again, having home field advantage in the playoffs. I am tired of these Peyton Manning people telling me how great he is. He's one of the best of all time. He's lost so many games when they've had home field advantage in the playoffs, yeah, whether it's Indy, New England. You have to start looking past the regular season.
It's 9-1 and duns. And here's the thing. This is a bad matchup for him. This is the – Peyton Manning has been held, that offense has been held under 400 yards twice, and both times by the San Diego Chargers. So once in San Diego and once in Denver. This is a bad matchup. Peyton Manning, I'm not predicting that he'll lose, but he can definitely lose this game.
But Matthews is probably not playing. He's questionable. That ankle is really bad. And that right there would be the difference for me and the Chargers not doing it. All right, let's go to the other games. What do you think about the other two, Mike?
Okay, New England, Indy. That's a tough game because, in my opinion, both teams are doing something with you know, questionable talent, especially on the offensive side. You know, to get this far, you know, you got a bunch of no name receivers and running backs. You know, on both teams. I think New England pulls it out at the end, but I think you're going to see a lot of points. As far as the you know, the Carolina San Francisco game goes,
great game.
And it's a tough one to call because I have no idea what to expect from Cam Newton. But my last point, guys, and I wanted to get to this. I promise I won't take up any more time.
No, that's all right.
Adding another playoff team in the NFL. I know
it's
terrible. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because it's not like the NBA, the NHL, where you get a seven-game series and you can lose a couple games and still advance. You know, one game and you're done. So you're getting teams 13-3, 12-4 that don't get a bye. I want to go back to the good old days, and you guys remember this, when there was five teams that made it, the three division winners and two wild card teams. Now you're watering down, giving teams that are 8-8, you know, 7-9 a chance to make the playoffs. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%.
You're right.
There's 32 teams in the NFL, and now we're saying that we want 7-7. So we want 14 teams, or Roger Goodell wants 14 teams.
And the owners, he's just speaking for them.
Well, no, of course. When I say Roger Goodell, he's employed by the owners. And it's all a money grab. They want to have games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They want to have two games on each day. It really is too much. I mean, they wanted the 18-game scheduled. I mean, really, enough. The league generates $9 billion, and that's only growing.
Yeah.
So we don't need to add a 17th team. Now, granted, this year you had teams like Arizona – at 10-6, not making the playoffs, but those happen from time to time. It's okay. It's okay if a team that is a 10-win team misses the playoff. Like 2 years ago, it ended up costing Lovie Smith his job when the Bears went 10-6 and they lost the tiebreaker to the Vikings. That's okay. That happens every 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Mike, I'm 100% with you. Six is more than enough. It rewards greatness. It rewards performance on the field. And when you start getting seven, what will happen is it's like fantasy football almost. You start to get closer and closer to 8-8 teams making the playoffs. You know what? If you're 8-8, you're not a playoff team, even if you won your division. But let's let the division winners slide. But 8-8 teams shouldn't make the playoffs. You could argue 9-7 teams shouldn't be making the playoffs either. We should be really striving for only excellence making the playoffs. And this is not the answer. This goes in, you know, flies in the face of that. But I tell you what, between the three of us agreeing, it doesn't matter. This will be, my prediction is not next year, but the year after, this will be in place because this one game adding,
they just threw it out there because it's going to happen. That's all they were basically letting you know.
It's going to happen, unfortunately. It's a money grab. It's a land grab for TV rights. This is probably, you know, this adds $100 million of revenue to the NFL. You know, between the four cities or the two cities that are involved now, the four, because two teams wouldn't get the bye, right? So the two seed wouldn't get a bye.
Yeah,
it's
just the number one seeds would get the byes, yeah.
Yeah, it'll happen, unfortunately. And hey, let's start a petition, but I think we're going to lose this one.
Yeah. Real quick, Mike, before you go, did you like the Redskins getting Jay Gruden?
Ah, boy, I don't know. To be determined, guys. You know, he has to get on the same page as RG3. He has to talk to him. That was kind of interesting when I heard, you know, he didn't even talk to him before, you know, he came there. So I don't know. To be determined.
Yeah, we'll
right,
see.
Great.
The good thing is they're both young, so hopefully they'll grow old together, you know, Gruden and
RG3.
I
think it's going to be good. All right, Mike, hopefully we'll talk to you on Monday, man. It's going to be some great games this weekend, and watch my Tar Heels beat Syracuse. I'm calling.
Take care, guys.
All right, Mike,
take care. Thanks for calling. So, look, we're about to get to the NFL, but real quick, just saying with the NBA, you know, the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets have been hot, too. This is without Lopez, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson's been playing out of his mind. I think tonight will be fun to see, you know, Heat and Brooklyn. We got to mention Drew Holiday is out indefinitely, Ray, with the tibula.
Anderson and Drew Holiday.
Yeah,
that's tough.
So the Pelicans are going to be in that lottery, but guess what? Nope, it goes to Philly, right, because of the trade. Do they get it? Yeah. It goes to Philly. Their pick goes to Philly. So they'll wind up with, you know, Carter Williams, Nerlens Noel. And then, you know, the Clippers is talking about maybe signing Hedo Turkoglu and Andrew Bynum. Ugh, you can't get excited about that. And then Bledsoe, Ray, had surgery on the meniscus. So we'll see what happens with him and when he gets back and all that stuff. But, you know, you hate these injuries in the NBA. Gosh, guys have had such a bad string, right? From Rondo to all these other guys, just Rose, it breaks your heart because you just want, in all sports, healthy guys and guys playing. So let's take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk NFL divisional playoffs. Ray and Tay today.
This is E-Complete. It's something real. Something funny, something serious, and something true.
We're back
yes,
to
sir.
Talk NFL, pigskin, professional style. And
divisional
we're at
playoff round.
The divisional Woo. Playoffs, exactly. So let's just jump right into it. Let's go
Eight
with
teams.
The first game in chronological order. So we got New Orleans at Seattle. They played this game several weeks ago, and New Orleans got absolutely hammered.
the Monday night massacre, right? Well,
apparently it's going to be raining and nasty weather.
35-mile-per-hour winds.
Wow.
So that tells you got to run the ball. No Pierre Thomas. He's a game-time decision, probably not going to play, doubtful, just like Matthews. That's hard, Ray. I mean, that's hard. Again, the kid, Kyrie Robinson, is going to be potentially the difference maker along with Ingram, the Heisman Trophy winner. So when I look at this, Percy Harvin's playing. He's had a good week of practice. I think the wet balls, the painting of the Seahawks, all the things Sean Payton has done, the Gatorade last week, it's going to help in a sense that they won't get blown out. Rob Ryan has, you know, we'll see some things. They're going to look at what the Cardinals did to, you know, they don't have the Cardinals' talent. And also Keenan Lewis with the concussion, he's going to play. So I think New Orleans will be in the game, but I just think, you know, Lynch Mob, Beast Mode, Skittles, and just Russell Wilson is too much. So I'll take the Seahawks over the Saints 23-17. I think they it's not crazy high scoring because of the weather, and it slows up Breeze and the offense. He'll get some yards, but he won't get the two touchdowns, but that's it. 23-17. What do you got?
All right, I'm going to say that there's a 10% probability of what I'm about to say because everything needs to fall into place. But I'm going to say that the New Orleans Saints win the game. Now, keep in mind, I'm the same person that predicted New Orleans Saints would win the game 4 weeks ago when they got blown out. But I'm going to say
– bugging.
I'm going to say that Drew Brees keeps the game close, that Seattle can't score in bunches like New Orleans can, and therefore it'll be, like you said, a close game, and Drew Brees is able to, in the fourth quarter, drive the ball down the field with Sproles, with Robinson, with Kenny Stills, with Marcus Colson, of course the big fella Jimmy Graham, and they go down and they go for a game-winning victory down the field. So they win 24-21.
Is it Brees or Shane Graham with the field goal?
24-21. The New Orleans Saints.
Wow,
go
Ray with his bold prediction. Go, Ray.
Take care of business. Close game until the fourth quarter. Both teams score a touchdown. But the Saints come marching
in. Okay. Ray is bargain. Okay, I feel you. Colts and Andrew Luck going to the New England Patriots. This is a 8:15 start, and I think it's the clock strikes. I think Andrew Luck was amazing, right? Four touchdowns, but three interceptions. He sort of dug himself out of the hole that he created. And I just think the talent is going to get to them and the injuries will get to them. Guess what? Patriots have injuries too. But giving them the time to prepare and Belichick and Brady, and I think this guy, LeGarrette Blount, is going to be the difference maker. Him and Vereen, and they'll dink and dunk. Brady will do what he needs to do. If these guys try to bump up on Amendola and the receivers, maybe, you know, it's Vereen out of the backfield. Maybe it's, you know, one of these tight ends that's not Gronkowski. Maybe it's Tompkins or the other guy steps up. And whatever it's going to be, Brady will get it done. I got the Patriots 30-24. Some points are going to be scored.
I love Andrew Luck. I love what he's building. I'll love him even more next year when he gets Reggie Wayne back. I think that he doesn't have the talent to go into New England. And more importantly, he doesn't have the running game to go into New England.
Yeah.
I think if you win against New England, you either
Chandler
got
Jones.
You've either got to outscore them and put up 40, or you've got to outpossess them and just hope that they do quick three and out and you just grind and grind and grind. And that combination of Donald Brown and Trent Richardson isn't what they had hoped when they traded for Richardson. They're good, but not enough to dominate the ball in Foxborough. So I think that the Patriots will be too much. I think the Patriots put up 30 and the Colts put up 20. So I look for a 10-point game.
That's fair. That's fair. And then Sunday. This, I don't even know what to call it, because this type of matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and Carolina Panthers, last time it was 10-9. Steve Smith's playing. I think the Panthers' defense has been tested all season and gotten better and better. Cam has been clutch. You know, the Patriots game, you know, the Saints game, these drives. He's doing enough. He's not making the mistakes. But I think Kaepernick is hot. And he's on a hot, like, drive right now because he's got Crabtree back. And when you have the only part of the Panthers' defense that's a little bit weak, Ray, is the secondary. And I think Kaepernick, whether he can get to the edge or throw a bomb to Crabtree or Bolden or Vernon Davis, yo Terps, I think it'll be enough. And in a slugfest, I got the Niners, who we both picked to be the Super Bowl champs this year. I got the Niners going to Carolina, and Cam will hold his head up high because he's not going to play bad. He just doesn't have enough talent, doing more or less. The Kaepernick 49ers win 23-20. Great game.
Cam. Oh, Cam.
Oh, Cam.
So here's my thing. I'm going to say something that's blasphemous. They beat the Niners 10-9 in the beginning of the season. And if they are to win, I think they have to win by a similar score. I'm not convinced that this Carolina offense is really any good. It's not really Cam's fault, but he doesn't have much around him at the offensive skill position. We've always, even though Tolbert made the Pro Bowl, we thought that Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, Mike Tolbert, and Cam Newton should be the best running attack, you know, maybe in the NFL in the last 10 years. And it really hasn't materialized. Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron,
great,
is really
great,
you know,
coaching
kind of
job.
Toned Cam down and said, look, it's all about winning. Don't worry about the fact that you threw for 4,000 yards as a rookie but only won a handful of games. So they've done a great job, I think, in getting in Cam's head and being like, Cam, look, it's all about winning. And Cam's, they win 11 in a row, and they're great, and they're great at home, but they cannot score. So having said that, I think that they'll only be able to put up, I don't know, say 13 points. So the question is, can they hold this San Francisco team now that has Michael Crabtree back and Vernon Davis and Kaepernick is getting his swag back and, you know, an offensive line that's doing okay. So I think that the Niners are able to put up points, and the Niners will win this game 24-13. I just think that Carolina can't score. They'll play great D, they'll play tight, but ultimately it'll be too many three and outs from Carolina's perspective. Field position will be had by the Niners, and the Niners offense will move the ball, and they'll be the Carolina D will be on the field.
That feels like a blowout, man. That's a big okay.
They can't score.
I feel you. Ray's getting some stuff out of him today. This is an interesting game. 440, Chargers, Broncos. I'll tell you this right off the bat. Matthews, if he, you know, can get himself on the field, I don't think he's going to be, you know, healthy enough to do what he needs to do for them to win this game. I want to pick the Chargers. You know, I picked them to do what they did, make the playoffs, beat the Bengals. They, you know, beat the Broncos.
World.
Week 15. I think Phillip Rivers and the crew, Keenan Allen, they it's been a great season. It's just not enough to go and win in Denver. They're not Baltimore. Their defense is not Baltimore. It's not Ray Lewis. It's, you know, it's just not enough. They're going to fall a little bit short, but they're going to give the Broncos all they can handle because Ayers and Phillips, they're not Von Miller and Dumervil. They're not going to get to Phillip Rivers enough, the Broncos defense. So I think there's going to be some points in this one, and I think the Broncos will just sort of outscore them. They want to have time of possession and run the ball, and that's the way to beat Manning. But I don't know if Ronnie Brown – I guess Ronnie Brown could shock me. If Ronnie Brown puts up a touchdown in 135, San Diego might get a W, ladies and gentlemen. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
Is that product, Ronnie Brown, the number three
Ronnie
pick
Brown,
in the draft?
Ronnie Brown is not –
Cornell Williams?
He's not related to Bobby Brown. I'll tell you that.
But it
he's
is
not
his prerogative, though.
Yes, he's not Mr. Telephone Man. But I'll say this. The Broncos beat the Chargers 31-27. Entertaining game.
So I agree with your sentiment, and I agree with your score more or less. I think this is a bad matchup for the Broncos, which means that it'll be a close game. Like we talked about with Mike, the Denver Broncos have been held as an offense under 400 yards twice this season, and both times was at the hands of the San Diego Chargers. And both times the San Diego Chargers held the Broncos in the 20s in scoring. And the last time they beat them 28-21. Now, Manning gets Wes Welker back, So that's good. Now, he's not Brady and Welker, where they've been together for 5 years, so it's not like he knows Welker that well, but 3-4 months of working together, I think it helps. It gives him another weapon, and now he's got, obviously, his big four in place. I just think that the Denver Broncos will be too much. They'll have to score, but they'll be too much. Now, remember, like you said, San Diego's a time-of-possession team. I think they were one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league in time of possession. So they'll have to possess the ball, and they'll have to score in the red zone. That's going to be the key, because I think San Diego can
score. Red zone offense is a mess. Ugh.
The key will be if they can score in the red zone. And we talked about this off-air a lot. What are they doing running these, like, stretch plays with the 5-7 Danny Woodhead, you know, and then they're like, okay, well, let's run them up inside, you know, up the A gap. Really? I mean, come on, guys. You got to improve that play calling. So
that's Wiz. Wiz is probably going to get a job.
It's all about scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and I don't know that the Chargers will be able to score enough touchdowns in the red zone. So I think the Denver Broncos win this game 33-30.
33-30. You know, I feel you on that, man. We both, you know, pretty close in our picks. It's going to be fun. Either way, we'll talk about it on Monday. You know, we might be talking to folks, tweeting out. Hey, I got a quick email before we get to our potential Hall of Fame guys. This is Michael from Chicago. He says, hey, Ray and Tay, love the show. Can Phillip Rivers shock the world? And make Manning just a regular season all-star.
Wow. So,
well,
so the short answer is yes, he can. I think we both agree, yes he can, but we don't think he will.
Yeah, but that's, wow. It's funny.
And you
people
know what?
Are,
we need to get off
people
Manning.
Talking about
he's
Manning.
He's not a regular season quarterback. This guy is a phenomenal quarterback.
No, he's
and
one
usually
of the
when
top...
you lose – in the playoffs, you're losing to Bill Belichick. I mean, once in a while, you're losing to a quote-unquote inferior opponent.
He's lost to the Chargers. The Chargers have gotten him.
Not in the playoffs, though. We're talking about the playoffs. I mean, talking about
no, the Chargers
9,
beat Manning, remember? Yeah, the Chargers beat Manning that 1 year.
Oh, yeah, okay, a few years ago. Okay. But he lost to Phillip Rivers. Yeah, you're right. Oh, that was the year they had Phillip Rivers and LaDainian. So they were still playing. Oh, LaDainian got hurt in that game. Yeah, but I think we need to get off Peyton Manning's back.
Yeah. So let's talk about other people's backs like Gronkowski and these guys that we're thinking that are young, that you know, sort of 25, 26 and younger. I'll tell you this. We've debated it, and we're just going to go quick hitting who we think could potentially, you know, be Hall of Famers. And we've had some debates. But I want to ask you this. Gronk, if he's healthy, we think, you know, obviously, I think Vernon Davis. Do you think Vernon
Davis
as well?
Because he run blocks, I think Gronkowski for sure. Davis, I'm not sure about. He's got to put, because he's really just an offensive, you know, a pass-catching tight end, he's got to put up really, really stellar numbers in an era where everybody puts up offensive numbers.
So this is an interesting question to me. Two guys I want to throw at you, what you thought about them. Receivers, because it's such a, you know, all the stats we spoke about are sort of kind of weird now. But Marcus Colston of the Saints and Roddy White, what are your thoughts about them? Do you think that these guys, you know, is that – that's sort of interesting, right? Cause
that's
kinda...
Those are interesting. Those are on-the-cusp guys. That's a great call by Tay right there. Here's my criteria for making the Hall of Fame. You had to have been dominant at your position. And you had to have dominated the in football, if you're a wide receiver, the defensive backs, and you had to have people schematically try to shut you down. I don't think
Marcus
Roddy
Colston
White,
would probably be no.
No, I don't think Roddy White and Marcus Colston under those criteria are Hall of Famers. I mean, they're excellent players, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're Hall of Famers. I mean, they're not Andre Reed. In an era where they threw less, you were worried about Reed more.
That's fair. And Roddy White has not, you know, he hasn't had the opportunity, but his team, you know, he hasn't had, like, these great playoff performances that you would look for with some of these guys and, you know, stuff like that. So I guess just real quick, when you talk about some of these quarterbacks, what do you think about a Romo and a Flacco? Because we know about the big guys that are playing, you know, Brady, Breeze, Manning, you know, Rodgers. What about Flacco and Romo?
neither of them are Hall of Famers. Especially Romo will have statistically a better career. So Romo needs to win a Super Bowl to make the Hall of Fame. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think
Big
Manning
Ben is,
Reed,
though, right?
What's that?
Big Ben, my boy.
Big Ben, because of two Super Bowl
two
rings, will probably be a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And he consistently, you know, even though Pittsburgh wants to run the ball more, Ben wants to throw. So his stats will be very good, too. So Big Ben's a Hall of Famer. I think the guy that will be a very interesting call, especially because of his size and his numbers, is a guy like Matt Stafford. Now, obviously, we're projecting many years, but this guy, you know, project out to be a Hall of Famer, assuming he has some playoff success in the future?
I'd say no if he doesn't get the rings, and then on the other side, I'd say Eli Manning will because of the name and the rings. And Eli's been, you know, proven to be a clutch quarterback, and I know we've talked about that, and that hurts you. Let's look at the defense. Somebody like Aldon Smith, I think he'll, if he can stay, you know, together mentally and on the field, guys like him, Keekly, these Panthers, Hardy. You know, the linebacker game in the Niners and Panthers, it's probably one of the best matchups of linebackers since you could go back to probably the Giants and the Saints, but I don't know in the playoffs if they played each other when the Saints had the great linebackers, you know, and you know, the Giants linebackers. So this is one of the great linebacking matchups you got to watch out for.
In an era where they throw the ball so much, to have linebackers that can play the run and the pass as well as these guys do, so they might all be Hall of Famers. So Luke Kuechly, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Smith, Thomas Davis. I mean, these guys all look like they could really, really be unbelievable players for you know, 5 to 10 years.
And you know who I love? I love like guys like Earl Thomas, some of these guys. Let me ask you this. You're talking about someone who's closer to the end of his career and not a young guy. Is Steve Smith a Hall of Famer for the Carolina Panthers?
Well, let's put Steven Jackson in there together, too, because we talked about that off-air. So let's talk about the Steve.
I say yes for Steven Jackson. I know you don't love him, but, you know, I think his first 9 years, and this is his 10th season, you know, well over 1,000 yards. So he's got, I think, over 11,000 yards in his career. Steven Jackson never played for a winner, but I think that he's –
So what is
he's
Curtis
been
Martin?
Amazing.
He's Curtis Martin,
is he
basically?
What?
He's Curtis Martin, basically?
Yeah, but you know what I like about Steven Jackson? He caught a lot of passes.
He did.
You know, I have to look up his career receptions, but I think Steven Jackson, to me, you know, where he was getting beat up in St. Louis, but he was, you know, he's only just been, you know, injured recently the last 2 years, but he's been a bell cow back. He's been the man. Frank Gore, too. Before we get to Steve Smith, you think Frank Gore should be a Hall of Famer?
Frank Gore had 7,000 yard seasons, played for bad San Francisco teams for years up until the last three when they were really good. So he's a grinder, and if he puts a year or two more in, then he's probably a Hall of Famer.
And get the ring. Think if he gets one of these rings.
Oh, yeah, get the ring for sure.
So Steve Smith, that's a hard one.
Went to a Super Bowl, lost.
Right.
He's a guy you
I guess to be a Hall of Famer, you need to be a top five receiver, running back, quarterback in the league while you're playing for at least 7 to 9, maybe 10 years. Steve Smith, I don't know if he's ever been. That's a hard one. He definitely was a solid number one for a while.
He was. Well, remember, it was Jimmy Smith for years.
Masih Muhammad,
who came over and then – Steve Smith was the young, quick receiver, big guy. I mean, you know, short, but you know, built.
Yeah, Diesel, yeah.
He would have to have a breakout playoffs a la Anquan Boldin. And there's another guy, you know, Anquan Boldin, Hall of Famer. But he'd have to have one of those type of postseasons to be considered a Hall of Famer. Because right
that's
now
that's hard for Steve Smith and Boldin, right, with the league with all these stats and these crazy stats, if they don't have the ring or whatever, their stats won't compare, to Randy Moss, Owens, Chris Carter, you know, even the Tim Browns, and then, you know, you got Marvin Harrison. I don't think Steve Smith and Boldin, you know, they're not, they don't have Fitzgerald stats. Fitzgerald's, you know, of course, Hall of Famer, Andre Johnson, of course. So that they're going to be probably borderline. It's going to be fascinating. And we got to get Ray Guy in there. We got to, you know, punters and kickers need some love, too. These guys have got
to
get in.
Yeah, field position is a big deal. Again, it talks to time of possession. It talks to, you know, going down the field for 80 yards versus for 60 yards is a big, big difference. Two or three more plays on the field means the defense can get that sack. You can get that holding penalty. Guys, don't disrespect special teams. Everybody says, oh, kickers and punters, they're not real football players. You know what? When they lose the game, everybody
coaches,
points the finger.
Coaches know they are.
They are very important pieces of the, you know, they're not as hype as quarterbacks, but they're certainly an important part of the game.
Yeah. So, look, great show. I think this is going to be a fun, busy sports weekend like always. And we'll be back, you know, Monday evening to talk about it. And let's look for these games. I think Ray and Tay, we have the only game we have differently. We have some points differently. But you got the Saints and I got the Seahawks. The rest we got the same.
So. Yeah, well, let's go watch some football this weekend, a little bit of college basketball on Saturday. And we'll be back with you on Monday. A lot to talk about.
Definitely. Thanks for listening. And, you know, we had a great show. And we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks for checking us out and talking sports.
Sports
friends.
With friends.
Peace.
We're out.
I meant what I said.